Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, the 26th day of March, 2019. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And while the Mueller witch hunt may have come to a disgusting end, finally revealed even in the waste stream for what it obviously was all along, it doesn't look like the battle against truth, justice, and the American way is anywhere close to over, since arguably things just keep getting weirder. One thing's for sure, it does look like the denizens of the deep state think they can get away with almost anything, or at least they thought. And maybe it's time for a few of the lesser scapegoats to get thrown to the wolves. Let's start there, because it certainly sets the tone for the day. The creepy porn lawyer, as he's been called, Michael Avenatti, has been arrested in association with an extortion plot against Nike. Turns out, says the Zero Hedge summary, he even conspired with none other than Jesse Smollett's lawyer. Yeah, it goes back to the old saying, birds of a feather. And honestly, folks, when it comes to scumbags doing the usual scummy things, I wouldn't have thought this story too important in the overall scheme of things and given the level of corruption we're dealing with. But in the current environment, it goes right to the heart of what's really going on deep in the swamp. After claiming to work on behalf of an amateur basketball team in the AAU that had recently lost a Nike contract worth something like $70,000 a year, Avenatti used, quote, illegal and extortionate threats, says the prosecution's case from the Southern District of New York, to try and secure millions of dollars for himself from Nike. The coach from the team told Avenatti that payments had been made by Nike to high school basketball players, and Avenatti threatened to make those allegations public. See what I mean? Does that sound familiar? If the company didn't capitulate, meet his demands, pay his client $1.5 million, while awarding Avenatti and a co-conspirator a multi-million-dollar contract to conduct, yeah, say it with me, folks, an investigation internally. You know, quietly and out of sight for now. Avenatti chose the timing of his plot very carefully, says the story, approaching Nike shortly before the company was set to report its first quarter earnings, and not to mention March Madness. And at one point, Avenatti threatened to take $10 billion of market cap off Nike's share price. Lawyers for the company then contacted federal prosecutors reporting the extortion attempt after they were initially contacted by Avenatti. Prosecutors suggested recording the next call, a recording which produced some choice quotations from the infamous creepy porn lawyer. And I guess I ought to at least try to read some of these. It'll mean some editing. Quote, I'm not f***ing around with this, and I'm not continuing to play games, Avenatti was recorded to say. You guys know enough now to know you've got a serious problem, and it's worth more an exposure to me to just blow the lid on this thing. A few $1 million doesn't move the needle for me. I'm just being really frank with you. And then he went on to say, I'll go and I'll take $10 billion off your client's market cap, but I'm not f***ing around, he said again. Well, when the company's lawyers balked, he said he could skip the investigation if they just paid him $22 million up front. Prosecutors in the SDNY described the whole incident as an old-fashioned shakedown, and it unfolded over a period of 3 days beginning earlier this month. Back when, your host needs to interject here, he probably would have been justified in thinking, hey, given the way things were and were likely to continue, he could almost certainly get away with this in America with a K. Which leads me to the punchline. Avenatti was arrested in Manhattan on Monday and then brought to the offices of the FBI. Where else, folks? And it leads me to think, maybe he was taken there to get a job offer for being so... Well, wait a minute. I guess if he gets caught, he's not quite up to their standards. So you do have to ask, is it too late to still get a job with Team Mueller? Or better still, maybe there are some Team Mueller folks now wanting to work on his defense. In any case, here's the funniest part of the whole thing. According to a reporter who notes that the only one oblivious to what was really going on here was probably Avenatti. Quote, this is the funniest part of Avenatti's indictment, tweeted Jeffrey Ingersoll. One, he allegedly makes an illegal threat. Two, Nike lawyers call DOJ to tattle. Three, DOJ says call Avenatti back and ask him to repeat himself. Followed by four, he f***ing does it.
Morons. I've got morons on my team.
And guess what, folks? This article goes on and on and on, and so do the list of pending crimes. Even CBS News, in their summary tweet, put it this way. Officials call Michael Avenatti a corrupt lawyer who fights for his own selfish interests, say the allegations against him that paint, quote, an ugly picture of lawless conduct and greed, unquote. And all I can add to that, folks, is welcome to America 2019. He fits right in the swamp. But somebody, at least, is going to have to, stand up and face the music for all of the corrupt officials who you know aren't. Meanwhile, even Stormy Daniels has distanced herself from the guy, but there is this exception. For a few hours, says Zero Hedge, observers were left to wonder about the identity of the unnamed co-conspirator in the New York indictment before the Wall Street Journal revealed that the lawyer who demanded millions from Nike alongside Avenatti was none other than celebrity lawyer Mark Garagos, who, as it happens, is currently representing Jussie Smollett. But before that, he was hanging out and dealing with the likes of Colin Kaepernick. Oh, there is this bit of follow-up, too, from the Gateway Pundit. The Trump curse continues, they say, and this news has shattered the hopes of millions of socialist leftists who at one time cheered his possible run against Donald Trump for president. And yes, I do have to ask it, come on, what's changed? After all, if somebody that can get away with treason can run for president, why not just your average scumbag criminal lawyer? Here are some observations courtesy of Vox Day and a website called Open Secrets. He titles it Swampy McSwamp and notes that Jeffrey Epstein got 13 months in work release for child rape and child sex trafficking of dozens of underage teenage girls. But remember, he was well-heeled and had a lot of friends in really, I guess you'd say, courtesy of Garth Brooks, low places. In any case, Special Counsel Robert Mueller personally intervened, as you may recall, in the FBI's investigation of the billionaire pedophile and struck a deal that allowed him to avoid prosecution. David Asimov, too, son of the famous author, got probation for the largest child porn collection in California history, but Paul Manafort, because he knew Donald Trump instead of Hitler, got 4 years. Remember, Mueller recommended 20. And the same guy, yeah, the swamp critter himself, Mr. I couldn't find evidence of collusion if I participated in it, personally handled all three of those cases. Oh, and let's not forget, infamous mafia informant Whitey Bulger, who mysteriously got Arkansided in prison. Let's just call it another amazing coincidence. And notes Vox Day, Swampy McSwamp also devoted 2 years and millions of dollars into investigation, sick, of literally nothing with regards to President Trump, which demonstrate pretty clearly what the priorities of the deep state swamp really are and are not. But wait, there's more. How about the perjurer and former chief of the FBI, John Brennan, who now, says the Washington Times, is rapidly backtracking, saying his months after months of attack on President Trump may have been based on bad information. And I guess he ought to know, since he seems to be purveyor of a lot of that. One of the president's harshest critics, says the story, had a muted tone on Monday as he discussed Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia, Russia, Russia report on MSNBC's Morning Joe. Yes, as you certainly know, there was no evidence found, prompting Mr. Brennan to tell host Joe Scarborough, quote, "Well, I don't know if I received bad information, but I think I suspected there was more than there actually was. I'm relieved that it's been determined that there was not a criminal conspiracy with the Russian government over our election," unquote.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for. Move along.
Well, the Russia, Russia, Russia witch hunt may allegedly be over, but it looks like at least one foreign leader didn't get the message. Vladimir Putin is acting as if he knows the deep state is still intent on fomenting World War III. Following the major weekend development of Moscow unambiguously asserting its red line concerning potential U.S. military intervention in Venezuela, for which Russia sent a military transport plane filled with Russian troops that landed in Caracas on Saturday, new satellite images, says a story from Zero Hedge, now reveal a major deployment of S-300 Russian air defense missile systems to a key airbase just south of Caracas. Crucially, the Russian AN-124 transport plane, which touched down in Caracas on Saturday, carried no less than Russian General Vasily Tonkushkarov, identified as chief of the main staff of the ground forces and first deputy commander-in-chief of land forces of Russia, accompanied by 99 servicemen and 35 tons of cargo. This follows a Russian announcement that Moscow will not tolerate American military intervention to topple the Venezuelan government, so it appears that Russia is taking no chances with its South American ally. And it appears they don't believe that the U.S. internal war with the deep state is anywhere close to over, either. One more bit of interesting news on a day when the waste stream is no doubt looking for something, anything else, to focus the attention of those gullible enough to listen to them on. In what's being called a dramatic escalation of the Trump administration's legal battle against the Obama healthcare abomination, you heard it called Obamacare, Just Us Department lawyers now say the entire so-called Affordable Care Act should be struck down. Previously, under almost do-nothing Attorney General Jeff Sessions, they'd argued that only the law's pre-existing condition protections should be struck down. But DOJ lawyers told a federal appeals court on Monday they think the whole of Obamacare is unconstitutional. Gee, you mean somebody actually picked that thing up and read it? Siding with a Texas district court ruling that found Obamacare was exactly what anybody who's ever read the Constitution would have thought was obvious. It was unconstitutional as all get out to force formerly free people to buy something, whether they wanted it or not. Oh, and then there's that little triviality called Article 1, too. Health care is not an enumerated central government power, but as we know, that hadn't slowed them down for decades. In a letter Monday night, the administration said, quote, "It is not urging that any portion of the district court's judgment be reversed. The Department of Justice has determined that the district court's comprehensive opinion came to the correct conclusion and will support it on appeal," said Kerry Kupek, spokesperson for the DOJ. And the only question is whether the old severability argument applies. If one part of the nasty abomination is unconstitutional, does that apply to the whole stinking fetid mess or not? Well, only, again, if somebody actually reads the Constitution. So we'll obviously have to wait and see. So back next to the battle, which has only just begun. Folks, if we thought that a mere finding that they couldn't actually get away with doing what they were doing was going to stop the deep state from destroying a president that, as far as they were concerned, should never have been allowed to be elected anyway, well, we seem to have forgotten what the words "destroy him by any means necessary" really meant all along, up to and including assassination. And so far, thankfully, President Trump's been smart enough to keep his own security and not allow his hen house to be guarded by federal foxes. He did, however, allow himself to vent a bit more than he has for the last couple of years. In the Oval Office on Monday, the president was asked by Jonathan Carl of ABC News, "Mr. President, did this not turn out to be a witch hunt after all?" Whereupon Trump launched into what the Gateway Pundit called a brutal indictment of those who had investigated him, sick, and his team, saying, quote, "It lasted a long time. We're glad it's over. It's 100% the way it should have been. I wish it could have gone a lot sooner, a lot quicker. There are a lot of people out there that have done some very, very evil things, very bad things. I would say treasonous things against our country," unquote. And he went on to say, "We've gone through a pretty nasty period." And if he had his way, he added, "those who investigated him will themselves be investigated," saying, quote, "those people will certainly be looked at. I've been looking at them for a long time, and I'm saying, why haven't they been looked at? They lied to Congress. Many of them, you know who they are. They've done so many evil things," unquote. But he wasn't quite done. He then said, "I will tell you, I love this country. I love this country as much as I can love anything, my family, my country, my God. But what they did, it was a false narrative. It was a terrible thing. We can never let this happen to another president again. I can tell you that. I say it very strongly. Very few people I know could have handled it. We can never, ever let this happen to another president again," unquote. And the truth is, folks, there are presidents that should have been investigated for committing a lot worse crimes than this one was ever accused of, but weren't. So hopefully what he means is we can never let a bogus investigation happen again, nor overlook those that are truly guilty of treason. It would be nice, in other words, if we could actually return to the concept of a rule of law, or as the Bible puts it more than once, "justice, justice, you shall pursue." Hey, what a concept. There was a humorous interlude that'll serve as a segue to the next piece on this front. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was in the Oval Office for a brief meeting with Trump, and he made a joke about what the U.S. president, and to some extent he too, have been going through, saying, quote, "I bought him a case of the finest wine," although he knew Trump is a teetotaler. Quote, "I understand you're not a great wine drinker, but could I give it to your staff?" To which the president replied, "Yes," prompting Netanyahu to joke, "I hope they don't open an investigation on it." A piece from Breitbart next on that front. Wall Street Journal assistant editor James Freeman and Kentucky Senator Rand Paul are evidently on the same page. The Mueller report, they agree, confirms that it's now time for the Obama regime to account for their flagrant abuse of surveillance powers during the last administration. Wrote Freeman, "The Mueller report confirms that the Obama administration, without evidence, turned the surveillance powers of the federal government against the presidential campaign of the party out of power. This historic abuse of executive authority was either approved by President Barack Obama or it was not." And here you have to ask, if he didn't approve it, well, what did he know and when did he know it and what the heck was really going on that he didn't? But in any case, says Freeman, it's now time for Mr. Obama, who oddly receives few mentions in stories about his government spying on associates of the 2016 Trump campaign, to say what he knew and did not know about the targeting of his party's opponents. Unquote. For his part, Senator Rand Paul tweeted, "Time to investigate the Obama officials who concocted and spread the Russian conspiracy hoax." Unquote. Freeman wrote that if anybody actually believes the story that Lion James Comey, the former FBI whoremeister, told Congress, Mr. Obama might have room to deny some knowledge of the details of the surveillance abuses. Remember, folks, Tricky Dick's people famously called that plausible deniability, and they've elevated it to an art form in the years since. But regardless, he said, the, quote, absolute bare minimum that Mr. Obama owes this country is an explanation of the actions of his government in spying on a presidential campaign, unquote. Another high-profile individual who's been the victim of the continued waystream fake news media hoax is the president's son, Donald Trump Jr. No, in spite of their prognostications and fondest hopes, he hasn't been hauled out in handcuffs or even hung yet. So we did take the time to appear on Tucker Carlson's show and fire a few very appropriate shots at those who've been caught lying now for so long. Here's one I thought was very on target.
We handed over our emails. I did 27-something hours of testimony in front of congressional committees. And you know what happens? You go in the meeting at the end of seven-hour testimony. Guys, do you have any more questions? Ask them. Go look at the records. Do you have any more questions? No, we have none. Guys like Danang Dick Blumenthal go outside on the steps of Congress 30 seconds later, hold a press conference saying, there are many questions that were not answered. It's nonsense, Tucker. It's all a game.
And he's right. And as we all know, it's still not over. And he went on to take a very appropriate shot at Adam Schiffhead, whom he said has been caught flagrantly lying to the American people. And in the process, he makes an incredibly important point. The waystream fake news continues to allow these scumbags to get away with it.
And you got the leader of the tinfoil hat brigade, Adam Schiff, out there every day talking about the evidence of collusion that he's seen. He's flagrantly lying to the American people. He's doing it every day on national television. He's gotten more airtime, amazingly enough, than Michael Avenatti, but they're about of the same level of credibility, and there's no accountability for that, Tucker, because when you're on that side and you have the media carrying your water for you, you can say whatever you want. When you're on our side, even when you're right, even when you're proven so, there's a level of culpability. There are repercussions for being a conservative that you don't face if you're on the other side.
Which leads me next to a couple of salient quotes from another one of the journalists that really deserves the title, who swings from the left. I'm talking about Matt Taibbi, often famously associated with the Rolling Stone, who wrote a piece, actually an excerpt from a book he's producing called Hate Incorporated, saying it's official. Russiagate is this generation's WMD. The Iraq War faceplant, he continues, damaged the reputation of the press, but Russiagate just destroyed it. And he begins his piece by saying, nobody wants to hear this, but news that Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller is headed home without issuing new charges is a death blow for the reputation of the American news media. As has long been rumored, the former FBI chief's independent probe, SIC, will result in multiple indictments and convictions, but no presidency-wrecking conspiracy charges or anything that would meet the layman's definition of collusion with Russia, Russia, Russia. So with the caveat that even this news might somehow turn out to be botched, he introduces the rest of the story by quoting the admission from the New York Times, followed by, as you know, Attorney General William Barr sent a letter to Congress summarizing the nothing burger. And here Taibbi quotes the money line, saying the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. Over the weekend, notes Taibbi, the Times tried to soften the emotional blow for the millions of Americans trained, conditioned is a better word, over these last few years to place their hopes in the overturn, by any means necessary, of the Trump presidency via Mueller. And as with most press coverage, he notes, there was little pretense that the Mueller probe was supposed to be a neutral fact-finding mission as opposed to religious allegory, with Mueller cast as the hero, sent to slay the monster. And he goes on, but I think the point is made, folks. Says Taibbi, in a brutal irony everyone should have seen coming, the press has now handed Trump the mother of campaign issues headed into 2020, and nothing the president is accused of from now on by the press will be believed by huge chunks of the population, a group that, perhaps thanks to this story, is now even larger than his original base. He notes a recent poll saying 50%+ of respondents agree with Mr. Trump that the Mueller probe was, in fact, a witch hunt. And here the left-leaning Taibbi quotes a number of standard bearers for the socialist left, including Hitlery, who insisted that Russians, quote, could not have known how to weaponize political ads unless they'd been guided by Americans. Asked if she meant Trump, she said, quote, it's pretty hard not to. And the sellout, former Nevada Senator Harry Reid, a lot of us call him Dirty Harry, similarly said he had no doubt that the Trump campaign was in on the deal. Ironic, isn't it, coming from him to help Russians with the leak? And notes Taibbi, none of this has been walked back. To be clear, if Trump was being blackmailed by Russian agencies like the FSB or the GRU, or if he had any kind of relationship with Russian intelligence, that would soar over the, quote, overwhelming and bipartisan standard. Well, unless, of course, we're talking about Hitler, and even Taibbi doesn't go quite that far. And then it'd be damn the torpedoes full speed ahead for impeachment right now. Trouble is, says Matt, there really never was a gray area here. Either Trump is a compromised foreign agent or he isn't. If he isn't, news outlets once again swallowed a massive disinfo campaign, only this error is many orders of magnitude more stupid than any in the recent past, including their WMD debacle. Honest reporters like ABC's Terry Moran, he says, understand. Mueller coming back empty-handed on collusion means a day of reckoning for the media. And of course, there won't be such a reckoning, says Matt Taibbi. There never is, but there should be. We broke every written and unwritten rule in pursuit of this story, starting with the prohibition on reporting things we can't confirm. Well, folks, or won't confirm. To his credit, Taibbi spends a whole lot of ink then going into all kinds of details that the press should have looked into themselves. They didn't. He did. For example, the Steele report. I was, quote, in shock. I thought it read like a fourth-rate suspense fiction. I should know. I write fourth-rate suspense fiction. Moreover, he said it seemed edited both for public consumption and to please Steele's DNC patrons. He goes on to hammer Adam Schiffless, too, who held hearings in March of 2017 that blithely read out the Steele report details as if they were fact, and says, I was stunned watching this. It's generally understood that members of Congress, like reporters, make an effort to at least vet their prepared remarks before making them public. Almost, folks, as if the truth is only something now that gets in the way, which is pretty much the bottom line. Thanks for joining us, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.